And now let's get right to Martha Shinners, who is our children's coordinator. She's the first children's consultant we've had here, and she's been doing wonderful things, and we're awfully glad she's with us. But Martha, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then go on and tell us what you're going to tell us.
Oh, hi. Welcome. It's nice to talk to you all. I hope someday to put some faces with the names. Some of you I do know. I came from Michigan in 2001 and have been at the State Library 6.5 years, so it's been a real ride. Before that, I worked as a children's assistant in a 5-system branch in Michigan, Saginaw, Michigan, and went back to school for my master's in my mid-40s. So I came into libraries kind of late in life and love it. So what I kind of want to talk today about is the history of the collaborative, and Clancy from Whitman was right. Judy Wilcox from Whitman County joined the year before we joined with Palouse to actually belong to the collaborative. And Judy was instrumental because she gave a presentation at the Washington Library Association conference that year. And Karen Day, who is in Iowa and does some of the business end of the collaborative, came and they did a presentation. I think the reluctance that people sometimes have of joining a larger organization is that they will lose their ability to be creative and to put their own local touch on it. And Judy was an incredible spokesperson for that because she showed slides of 3 different branches, and they all, even though the theme was the same, each branch looked a little bit different and had their own little touches to it. So I think we can thank Whitman County for kind of paving the way for the rest of the libraries to be interested in doing it. The reception here at the State Library is that it probably would not go because they've tried it a number of times and it didn't kind of work. So that following year, I did some calling around to states who had joined and nobody said anything bad about it. Everyone said, I don't know what we did before we got it. It's an incredible bargain. And so then it began in 1987, and it was a consortium of 10 Minnesota library, regional libraries, who got together and thought, we need to be working together instead of every library duplicating all these efforts all the time every year. So they kind of shared all their ideas, and everybody brought their own expertise to the table, and it helped them also because they could share costs, printing costs, and what they produce. Each year, the collaborative hosts a meeting, and the states take turns. Last year, we were in Portland. This year, we're going to Little Rock, Arkansas. And it started out, the first meeting I went to was a 2-dayer. It's almost 4 days now because it's gotten so large. At the meeting, we work on, this year we'll be doing the 2008, we'll be voting on the theme for 2010, and we're going to do this, we'll do a slogan. So we're always 2 or 3 years ahead, and what happens is the state rep, each state only has one person that has voting rights. And they've had to change the collaborative a bit because when Washington joined, we joined in 2003, and we had already missed the meeting, and so we just paid our dues so that we could get the manuals for 2004. You pay a base fee for your state to belong. It's only $65. And we pay $2 per outlet. So we pay, we have 333 or something libraries. We keep getting some we lose and then we get more. So that varies a little bit. But it's only $2 an outlet. And then we pick up the cost of $10 for the manual. The manuals over the course of the 4 years we've been in have gotten really, really good. The first 2 years, the teen program was just 4 or 5 pages slapped together. Now it has its own committee, and they do their own manual. the manuals, the advantage of, I think, of the being in the collaborative is the stuff, we work so far ahead, like we've already got the theme for next year, we've got the slogan for next year and a theme, and then we've got the theme for the following year, so we're always a couple years ahead, so when we send the manuals, get out early enough for people to have time to plan. I know when I worked in a public library and we did our own, it was right down to the wire, trying to, you know, get things organized and get things ready, and we oftentimes wanted to use books that we didn't have available or we didn't have enough of to send out to branches and stuff, and by getting the stuff, you know, usually by December, every year the collaborative has said they'll get it out to us in October, and every year four or five more states join. So we usually don't get them till the end of November or the first part of December. So Washington State actually joined in 2003, and we were the 24th state. Last summer when we went to Portland, there were 41 states, and this year when we go to Little Rock, there are 45 states that are involved. Every library in Washington uses the collaborative stuff with the exception of Seattle Public. So for most of us, it has been an incredible savings both in time and energy. And I think the fact that the manuals put together by practicing youth librarians, people who are actually in the field, it represents very doable, very concrete kinds of all of it. How do you go out and talk to your school? How do you do your press release? What kind of crafts? What kind of books? They're age appropriate and they're pretty much time tested because they've come from people who've already done them. Let's see what else. The collaborative is run with committees. So there's a young adult committee. There's a youth services committee. There's a web committee, and that they're trying to improve a bit. It's kind of a learning process. Last year they voted to develop a diversity committee, which is had just been on the peripheral, and I serve on that committee, and we're looking at more Spanish translations because the audience across the country has gotten so much larger. They're trying to find ways to reach out to the blind and the physically handicapped and the deaf and make sure that some of those connections are made. So it's an opportunity for a group of us with sanctions by the collaborative itself to go forward with those kinds of things. Attending, I think one of the best things that I find about it is how receptive people are to changing the program when it needs to be changed. We do work with Highsmith, and we actually contract, the collaborative contracts with them, and they do the contract negotiations with the illustrators for the graphics. That's part of the exciting thing for us, because in my experience of working, you know, for many years in libraries, trying to get artwork that really looked good was very, very difficult. And because the collaborative, and now with 45 states, it's almost, it's become an entity into itself. So there's some growing pains, as always, when you keep adding people. What will happen at this year's meeting is there, from last year's meeting, there was brainstorming, and there were probably five or six, probably 15 names of illustrators for both the young adult and the youth services put forward. And then at that meeting, it was narrowed down to five of each. And then what Upstart does then, Highsmith does, is actually go out and approach all of those artists and try to find one that is willing to contract with us. Some artists are much easier to work with than others. Some are very willing to do extra drawings in addition to what you get in the posters and some of those handouts. There's always the issue of people want more easy, reproducible art on the CDs. So that was another thing just in the last 5 years. So CDs that come with your manual that are supposed to, the artwork, every year that's one of the longest discussions about, give us something that we can manipulate on our computers for the people who don't have graphics departments. So they follow through up on that. They also do the incentive catalogs that we get, and Matt Mulder, who is there, and another, he usually brings whoever one of the graphic people, and they spend one whole, like, it's almost a full day with the committee about what worked last year and what do we want for the following year. There's always lots of discussion about how do we get things that are safe with that. We were probably ahead of the curve with that recall last year with the bendables, with the lead. They are really careful about doing their testing, about where they get their stuff. So that's
2 years ago.
Was that 2 years ago? Oh, that, 2 years. Oh, so we were way ahead of the curve. That was 2 years ago. So they are very open to suggestions, and they really, you can see when you go back the following year that they've listened to the feedback they've gotten from the collaborative, the participants in the collaborative, because they try to rectify things that did not work. They also bring some new things to the table. Any questions so far?
No.
No. Okay. So the manual is designed is and I know one of you said there's a lot in it. I think that is because there's so many people contributing to it.
No problem.
And I don't know if would it be helpful if we went through it, or have you kind of pretty much gone through it and know how you're going to use it and what things work for you?
Has everyone looked at the giveaways catalog? I think as a grandmother that there's wonderful things in there for bugs. I have a few grandchildren who really like bugs, so it's going to be a good year.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Okay, so no questions on the manual. Okay, I don't know whether it's worth our time to actually go through and look at what's in there.
I have a comment, and yes.
Who is this?
This is Carlotta, I'm sorry. I have more intermediate kids in my group,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't seem like there is as much intermediate material this year.
Okay,
intermediate, you mean like grades 4 to 6, or?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I haven't spent a lot of time with it, but I will take that back to the meeting.
So I haven't gone through the complete manual yet, but about halfway through,
Okay, anyway. And maybe the rest of you who are listening, if you have already pulled some things that you're going to use with your intermediate kids, you could give Carlotta a call or an email.
Might I ask what the theme is for 2009? We like to go around to the yard sales and the dollar stores to collect little prizes.
Okay.
Who was that?
That's a Sue from Dayton.
Oh, okay.
So, okay. The theme for next year is Get Creative at Your Library for the youth and Express Yourself at the Library for teens. And it's going to have an art and music kind of a focus.
Thank you.
Okay. And then the 2010 theme is going to be waters. So rivers, environments, pirates, mermaids, those kinds of things. And we'll decide that slogan this summer. So, or April when we have the meeting. So by, you know, April, May, by May, you'll be able to know what the theme for the following year is.
But that's 2010.
That's 2010. So yeah, next summer it's going to be art, music, dance, drama. And I think they've already started pulling some ideas for the manual on what they're going to look at. They thought, you know, kids could do short drama plays and reader's theater, and there could be some joint kind of drama things with older kids helping younger kids. So lots of ideas on that. Anything else on the manuals?
I don't have a manual yet, so what is the theme for 2008?
The 2008 is Catch the Reading Bug.
Who are you?
This is Judy.
Judy,
break.
Of course you don't. No.
Okay. Catch the Reading Bug is the one for the youth, and then Metamorphosis at Your Library is the teen program.
As in a butterfly?
Yes.
But as you go through the summer, if something really strikes you that you like it or you don't like it, be sure to let Martha know, because she is going to these national meetings and can certainly guide or at least put in some Washington input into what needs to be stressed or done.
Deciding a theme for a year is you know, takes a half a day. And they've narrowed it down, so they might start out, we'll do some brainstorming, and maybe start out with maybe 100, and then they vote, and they've had to change the voting because originally some of the votes are every state gets a vote, and some of the votes were based on population. But as the larger states came in, the populations were so large they kind of dwarfed the states like Montana and Wyoming. And so in order to make that fairer, last year there was an amendment voted on at the meeting, and every state now is just going to get two votes. So that it just, there was no way to make it feel like it was fair for people. And one state one year signed up all her school libraries, so she had enough votes to run anything. She fortunately was a very wise woman, and when there would be three things on the table, she'd split the votes in thirds so that she couldn't actually call the votes. But it was an issue they hadn't thought about because nobody else had, and then so now it is in the bylaws that you cannot join your schools up, so it's just for public libraries. The other thing, let me see what else. Have you checked out the website yet, any of you? The collaborative website, were you aware of that?
No. I checked out the song.
Elma Library here, that's part of the Timberland region, works with Elizabeth, Buck and Elizabeth, who are singer-songwriters. And she has a program where they actually come and do a song. The kids and they write a song together, and then they record it, and it's kind of a call and response. So they really thought it would be fun to do it with a theme. So they have actually done one, Catch the Reading Bug, and it's really a kind of a catchy little thing, and it will be posted on the, I sent it out in a youth services email message, but I checked the website today and I can't find it. So it will be up on the website. Let me give you, and I'll send it, we can send it out in email, but the website is www.CSLP for Collaborative Summer Library Program, READS, READS, all one word, .org.
Can you say it again?
Yes, it's www.CSLPReads.org.
I'll send that out to the listener, too.
Yeah.
For first Tuesdays, mister.
Right. It is, it's an okay website. I think it needs some work. I think the collaborative needs to hire someone. It's currently being done by a committee, and they just send something to a young guy who posts it. So I think there's some usability issues that I can see, stuff that I know is there that I have a hard time finding. But they do have a section that has some of the research behind why summer reading is important, that has some really good statistical kinds of things about how libraries engage kids over the summer, how it stems the loss of that, the reading skills that they've acquired the previous year. It's also a spot where as people begin to use the manuals and do the programs, they sometimes generate additional kinds of things. So last year there was a couple skits that other libraries had done around the theme that they were taking out to their schools, and those are posted for sharing. Also, I think we need to add to that website a spot where people find errors in the manual. Like sometimes the pages will be wrongly numbered, or there'll be a word one off in a crossword puzzle, or those kinds of things that until you actually go to use the booklet, you don't catch. And and they haven't really found a good way to get that information out for everyone so that people don't have to keep recreating and finding the errors. I'm trying to think of what else. Going very fast.
Any other questions for Martha? Or any thoughts about summer reading in general? I mean, what works for you, what doesn't work? What's the biggest problem with it, other than not having 10 hands?
One of the biggest problems that Dayton's had are in their special programs. They don't draw a lot of people. So we have tried to have something going on every day. And one of the things we tried was to make a book from internet sources on the theme. And from that book, we would draw daily questions. And as they came in, they would use this resource books to find the answer to the question, and then they would get a little piece of candy as a prize. And they would come in every day just for that little piece of candy. But what they were doing is keeping up their reading, and some of them did not know how to research, so that was an introduction into how to find the answers.
Mm-hmm. And that's incredible. So you actually did two things at once. You mm-hmm. imparted some skills over the summer.
Right. Anybody else that's... No? Okay. What about adult programming? I know you probably don't do any in the summer, but do you do any winter programming for adults? I know Timberland has some book clubs where you can get a prize if you get a basket of chocolate things if you get drawn at your library.
This is Joy and McConnor. We're running one right now that they get a literary latte if they turn in a reading record.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the Next Chapter bookstore, and they also have a coffee stand there. They've donated all the lattes that we want.
Great.
So, so we've got 11 people have turned them in, and they just started a couple weeks ago. So
the
adults really love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There is a spot on the website that does have adult summer programs and family programs. There's a couple states who do family summer reading programs. So, and there will be probably in next year's manual some ideas for doing adult programming also along your theme.
Isn't there a place with websites about bugs somewhere? It seemed to me that someone had very cleverly done that, but maybe I read so many clippings that I sometimes forget what source I'm seeing things from, but strikes me that just like the Audubon Society has birds, that there have to be lots of places with wonderful pictures of bugs and things that you can work from. Okay, any more conversation or questions about summer reading in general or summer programming? Oh, Martha.
Okay, I do need to share something else with you. Last year, two youth services librarians from Washington State went to Portland to attend the meeting with me. And it was Angela Nolat, who is from King County, and Tommy Wayland, who's from she's in Oak Harbor.
Oh.
North Central. No, North.
Oak Harbor is Snow Isle, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, she's Snow Isle. Okay. So, partly they both ended up on committees. Tommy got on the YA committee, and Angela got on the Youth Services Committee. So, I think it's kind of given them an idea of how the program works and allowed them to connect with some people from other states, and they do all of this work online. And the plan was, it took me a while to get this going because lots of the states do take other people, and it's good for me because they're actually practicing. So they come from a different perspective than I do. It's been a while since I've been in a building in the summer, and they kind of keep it real, you know, what's doable and what's not. And I think the collaborative, because you've got representatives from states that are very, very rural, lots of libraries like the ones you are coming from and you're representing who don't have big staffs, and you've got libraries that, like for King County, where they've got their own graphics and their own printing and their own PR. So to make it work for everyone, there's these general discussions. So having a couple people at that meeting with me, so when we are voting on things and just in general discussions, I have somebody to run some ideas back and forth, and it's been invaluable to me. And what's the way that's going to work is Chaos is going to pick someone to attend, and then I'm going to do kind of a general solicitation to get some names for people. So we'll have
Chaos is the WLA group for
youth services. Yep, sorry. And the WLA will pick up the cost of sending that person to the meeting, and the state library will pick up the cost of sending the second person. So, Tommy, it will be a two-year kind of a commitment, so it is a pretty big commitment because it takes, like, depending on, like, when we go to Little Rock, it'll be a day of travel before, a day of travel, so you're gone from your job almost 5 days, and you're looking at that kind of a commitment for 2 years. But that will be, she'll serve again this year, and then we will be looking for a new one to go the following year. So keep that aware of, and we'll get information out, and if you're interested, you can apply for that. It's kind of a fascinating experience because it's very loud, very noisy, lots and lots of people, and it just keeps getting better and bigger. But we actually get a lot of work done those days.
We'll put that in WSL updates probably toward the winter when it's coming up for the 2009 person to be picked if you are interested in applying to do this.
Okay, and another thing I'd like to run by you and see if you think this would be valuable. I know a lot of the larger systems have staff days where they actually pull everyone in for a day and do training. I'm assuming that they would not mind if space constraints were not there to have someone else come. Would something like that interest you if for next year I polled and got a list of when training dates were at some of the other libraries and to see maybe if would anyone be interested in doing that?
Attending
someone else's training time?
Or does that pressure staff too much when you're short staffed? This is free. It would be free for you, and you just go to whatever nearest town was having big town was having training, whether it was Spokane County or North Central or Yakima or Snow Island.
Because I know a lot of the larger systems will get the manual and divide it up, and then different staff will look through different pieces of it and pull things that they think really work well. And then they have a one-day meeting where the people who pull the things kind of share what they've done.
This is Clancy from Whitman County, and I think that's something we might be interested in. We do have an all-staff training day, but our afternoon is specific to summer reading where we have all our branches for the kids.
So you think it would be advantageous for you to be able to attend somebody else's? Is that what you're saying?
Or are you saying you should get Martha or someone to come to yours?
I'm saying either way. I'd like a little more information after you get it fleshed out a little bit.
Okay.
I think it would be useful if one person from our system could attend someone else's, and we'd also encourage other people who'd be interested in
attending yours.
Ours.
Okay, I think I might try to do that for next year. Just poll and get a list and find out who's willing to have extra people come. And then you could always do a CE grant to pick up part of the cost of that.
Well, and when I think of somebody like Judy at Sprague, actually, I only live 16 miles from Sprague. So it might be useful for her to kind of come see how...
Definitely.
Absolutely.
In Whitman County, where many of our branches are the same size.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. That would... I think the you know, when you work in a little bigger place, it's just easier because you've got more people generating the ideas and doing the work.
And that, I'm sure... We'll see how that will go, but that I think you folks that understand each other can give each other so much in terms of knowledge and general skills. You may not think you know too much about this, but you'd be amazed, you know, that when you're doing so much all by yourselves, you've really got a skill set that somebody from a big library only does one tiny little thing, and you can do everything in the building and talk to everybody in the building.
This is Carlotta. You could put my name on that list to go elsewhere for a day or whatever.
Okay.
Thank you.
Maybe for Judy's benefit, we should ask who the person was speaking who lives only 16 miles from Sprague.
Thank you.
I think that was Clancy, wasn't it?
Clancy, yes. Clancy, where are you?
I'm here. I live way in the northeast corner of Whitman, actually northwest corner of Whitman County, so I'm right up against Adams County, and Sprague, as I said, is 16 miles from where I live.
And Sprague is technically in Lincoln County, right? So
yeah, it's technically, but...
Yeah, I know. Lincoln County is very large and spread out. Because Kathy's in Lincoln County, too, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
At the very other end. Okay. Speaking of going to places, those of you that were on last month noticed that we had the people that attended ARSL, the Association of Rural and Small Libraries Conference. And for the past couple of years, we've had... scholarships for people to attend that conference. This year it's in California for the first time instead of being in Columbus, Ohio. September...
19th through the 21st.
19th through the 21st. And as the summer begins, WSL Updates will have a thing about who would like to attend and to kind of get some volunteers. And I'm not sure how many we'll send, but the people who have gone have... We can certainly give you a list, but they've been very enthusiastic about it because, again, it's a conference just for small and rural libraries. So, but from all over the country, so there's a lot of sharing and networking going on, and we think that you might like that. If people have been before, we're trying to hold back and let someone else go, but. There probably would be a chance for most of your places to send someone, so we can talk about that later.
And we pay the expenses,
yes,
for the people that go, and there's usually a small application.
Why do you want to do it? And
yeah, basically says, how do you think this would benefit you in the work that you do? So you might want to put that on your calendar, September 19th through the 21st. It's ARSL conference in Sacramento.
Yeah. And then there used to be a back-to-back bookmobile conference, ABOS. I can't say the words, but it's Bookmobile and Outreach. That is still remains somewhere in the Midwest. I think maybe back to Columbus, but I'm not sure of that. And it's the week afterward. That probably wouldn't touch you quite so exactly, but there is that second opportunity that we've sent a couple of Bookmobile people to that one last year.
Or Outreach.
Or Outreach, yes.
Yeah.
Many kinds of outreach. And some of you probably do some kinds of outreach. But anyway, okay. I'm getting out of order here, but Rand was going to talk about something.
A website that Carolyn asked me to bring to your attention, and I'm not sure if we have sent them this information yet or not.
About the community toolbox, no.
Okay.
I'm not sure whether that's been on updates.
Let me, I'm going to pull this up on my screen. I know you can't see my screen, but it will help me when I talk about this. Carolyn asked me to bring to your attention a kind of problem-solving website called the Community Toolbox, or CTB. And their website is ctb.ku.edu, cbt.ku.edu. Their mission on their website says promoting community health and development by connecting people, ideas, and resources. And if you go to this website, first of all, there's a table of contents that talks about all the resources that are available to you. This is very, very, very interesting because as we think of libraries and their the fact that libraries are in the context of the community that they serve, and when I do planning for libraries, we talk a lot about that. In fact, we talk about community needs before we talk about the library's needs, because the purpose of the library is to serve the community and help the community reach its goals. I think this is very, very interesting. One of the things that you can do is to click on a tab at the top called Do the Work. Do the Work. And Do the Work provides toolkits which help give you a quick start in doing key activities and community work. And so there are a series of 16 things here labeled, what kind of work do you want to do today? And I'll just read a few of these to you. Creating and maintaining coalitions and partnerships. And that's a link that you can click on to get resources and help. Assessing community needs and resources is another. Building leadership, another. Developing an intervention. Advocating for change. So there's 16 of these. And when you click on one of those links, oh, we'll just click on building leadership. Then there's another page, and it gives you what kind of support is available for building leadership. So there's an outline for building leadership. There's links to tools. There's how-to information, and so forth. Another piece of this website that is interesting is a tab at the top of the page called Solve a Problem. So this is, I thought this was very interesting. This is help for solving problems and dilemmas that are common with doing community work. And again, there are, let me look here, there's about 13 of these. And all each of these is a link to some kind of problem solving. So let's link to the one called There is No Clear Direction or Communication Within the Group. That's never happened in your situation, I'm sure, but I've been in committees where that's been a problem. So I click on that link, and it leads me to a nice little table that's called Some Reflection Questions. That's the one column. And the other column is Some Community Toolbox Support. So
we'll put this up on the listserv and kind of explain it more.
Right, right. We'll send this out to you. And I'm not going to go too much more in detail on this. But so here's one of the reflection questions. Do we have a clear vision and mission for the group? And then to the right of that, there's a link to a section called An Overview of Strategic Planning. And so this community toolbox, we're just going to recommend this as something that you look at as you work maybe with community groups and try to get them involved in planning and supporting your library's programs and services. So Susan will be sending this out. I'll give it the email, or the web address again is, excuse me, http://cbt, as in Community Toolbox, KU, as in probably some university, like Kansas University, I haven't looked. KU.edu, so cbt.ku.edu is just a little resource that we recommend that you look at. And I'm really, yeah, it is the University of Kansas. I'm very impressed with the organization of this. And so that's about all I have to say about that.
Well, working with your community, knowing your community is, of course, one of your big strengths in a small place. And you are pretty much all aware of that already, I know. Another kind of a toolbox called a cookbook. If you watch for updates this week, Chris Peters, who used to work here, has gone on to San Francisco to work for the place called TechSoup. But while he was here, he helped write what they call a cookbook of technical problems with computers in libraries. And there will be a new cookbook to download, Joy of Computing, I think it's called, something clever. But anyway, I'll put that on, well, you'll see that on the updates, which is being written sort of as we speak here for this week, and then they also are looking for volunteer or for people to comment back to them on whether this was useful or not and what their problems are that need to be solved. And this is a group of eager young people that really are wanting to help you work with your public as best you can.
Susan, we have one other thing.
Yes, I know. The next week, you mean?
No.
Grant wants to
yes.
talk again.
Next time.
Yes.
I would say if you're not on WSL Update, please give Susan a buzz,
yes.
Email or phone, and ask her how to sign up. Maybe we could also put that on our listserv message.
Mm-hmm.
There is another cookbook, and I don't know if we mentioned that in the update.
We've mentioned the first one.
Yeah, maybe we could
re-mention it, yeah.
Show the link to that, because that one is specific to small and rural libraries
mm-hmm.
on public access computing. So these are really how-to books. They're not, you know, the focus is not theory. The focus is really on making something work. Did you want me to talk about the next time,
or
do you want to talk about it?
No, you can talk. Our next first Tuesday will be the 4th of March, and Rand can tell you what we're going to do.
Lydia Bassett from Humanities Washington. And she's going to talk about how to get funds from them to do library programming. So, how to get funds from Humanities Washington. The information I have here says that first-time state funding through the Office of the Secretary of State will help Humanities Washington double the number of Inquiring Mind presentations in Washington this year. Presentations will be on a variety of topics now available at low cost to community organizations, libraries, museums, and schools throughout the state. Proposed programs should involve the humanities as a means of exploring human attitudes and values, as well as historical and contemporary issues. And for 2008-2009 season, Humanities Washington is offering or paying special attention to their upcoming Smithsonian traveling exhibit, Key Ingredients, America by Food, and Women's History and Culture, leading to the upcoming Centennial of Suffrage in Washington State.
Humanities Washington is a thing which a lot of you may know about, where a lot of your programming comes from. People do auditions and on various topics, and then a little booklet or list is ready of people that you can hire at a very, very reasonable cost to do programming for you. And Carolyn is the one that went to the meeting that talked about this, so the three of us are not able to answer too many questions about it. But if you think you can't afford programming, you might listen to this next month, and you might be surprised at the fact that there are people from your area that are very eager to give programs on various things. Could link up with you.
But they aren't, this is Martha again, they are from more than just the area, they're from all around the state, and part of the grant pays for their travel costs to come to you. I've gone to quite a few Timberland ones, and you know, one on a Native American basket maker, and they're interesting topics, and they're usually hour and a half programs,
mm-hmm.
but the people who do them are professionals, and they do an incredible job. And I've gone to some of the really small libraries. I went to Aberdeen once, and there were maybe, they had to move a wall in one of the rooms because there were so many people that came. So it's definitely worth checking out as a very doable, kind of inexpensive, but really high quality program.
And it'll be interesting to hear about their traveling exhibits. I know that was one thing I talked to Christy Kirkpatrick about in Quitman County, was the difficulty of getting traveling exhibits in.
So that's something to watch for. We've used the Humanities Washington programs here at the State Library too, and we have DVDs of some of the prior ones if you ever wanted to watch one just to see how it goes. But these folks are, they really know their business and get all excited about telling other people about it, so it's an enjoyable experience. Well, does anybody have any last questions or comments? Or we didn't give you the chance, too many of you, the chance to talk about programs in your libraries, but any last thoughts for us or complaints or whatever?
So this is Sue at Dayton. I haven't looked through the whole thing, but have you done anything on microscopic bugs?
I don't know, but that's a clever idea.
I just thought maybe a hospital technician could come in and do something with our kids.
They would love it. They would love it.
Oh, that's wonderful, and the hospital would love it too, probably.
This is Carlotta, and I did that a couple years ago, and it was very fun for the kids.
Yeah.
a person came in with a couple of microscopes, and they got to, actually, we were doing it on a forensic deal, but they really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we could get the regional medical library interested in partnering with us on this and getting some experts in.
Maybe.
Well, and remember, it was someone from Whitman, someone from a small library who kind of said, you know, you need to be checking this out at a state level. So you guys do a great job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Disease prevention is always a useful adjunct to any program, in addition to watching the little bugs. Anything else anyone wants to say?
This is Janet. I just want to say how much I've enjoyed the program over the last few years. One of the biggest advantages I find is the low cost that Highsmith offers for prizes and so forth. And I think, of course, our friends put up the money to buy those, but it sure has helped.
Yeah, good, great. The other thing they're looking at is every year we talk about this is how do we get books in the hands of kids. And this year there's going to be a general discussion on how we might partner with Scholastic, where you would be able to order inexpensive books packaged to buy kind of grade level things, pen to a package that we could be used. So
as prizes.
That would be excellent. Will that be ready this year?
Not this year. It's been in discussion 2 or 3 years, and so I think there actually was a committee this year that has worked on it. So hopefully next year that can happen.
That's great.
And the other thing that may happen this year, we don't know yet, is that the Maine State Library last year worked with the National Science Foundation, and they did a program around summer reading that was part of their Mother Goose program. So it was science and math, but it was with the theme. And they are working on a grant. We were supposed to hear last week if it's going to be part of the collaborative. If they wrote the grant so that the materials developed for the Maine State Library could be shared at the collaborative, which means that if we can get those, the State Library will find some way to print these booklets that are math and science around Catch the Reading Bug, that are preschool early literacy, that kind of go with the six skills, that early literacy stuff we've been doing. So that's another possibility for this year. We thought we'd know by now, but we don't. So,
but we'll let you know by several means, probably, if we come up with that. That would be wonderful to keep the math skills up as
right.
well as the reading skills.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us and talking with us. It's wonderful for us to hear people that are really out in the field doing things, and we think you're wonderful, and you really are bringing a great gift to your communities. Sometimes I know it's very tiring and frustrating, but you're a window on the world to a lot of people that wouldn't have it without you. So thank you very much, and have a good day, and try to keep warm and dry.